your thoughts keeping you small?
Blog Talk Radio.
I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now. Hey, I think we're live. We live, Benny? All right. Welcome, everybody. See me fixing my mic and everything else. That's because we're the real show. You know, this is what I love about doing this. No matter what we do, there's one thing we always are. We just show up as ourselves. That's what Get Big Out Loud with Terry is all about. Terry Knutson joining me here today. This is her show. I get to hang out with her. Today, this is really cool because we're talking about holding on and letting go. And I was, before we came on, I was just sort of whining a little bit, but not maybe whining a little bit about today I'm going to have to leave a little bit early to go back home because my backyard, which is usually green like with the grass this time of year, is like this rust, beautiful rust color, like this beautiful brown rust color because I've not had this happen before. I lived in a different house. So the cedar trees, correct me, Benny or Jacob, if I'm wrong about this, or Olivia, you can type it in, chat. These trees, like the one I got right out there, they get brown. They have these brown leaves, and then the tree lets go and lets them drop. And they drop the dead stuff because they're brown. They're not green. And in the Pacific Northwest, this is an evergreen. So it's not going to be like the trees over here in this window. It's like the trees here. It's evergreen, but it has a beautiful way of letting go. Now, good news is they're beautiful all year long. I have a beautiful backyard. The other good news, which requires work, is they are soaking wet because it's been raining here. So I have to get myself home and clean up what the tree has let go. Isn't that the topic for today?
Yes, it is. That's perfect. I hope you think about it as you're cleaning up today. What is this let go that I can take now and continue on this journey?
But this is really the key. See, trees know. Everybody thinks, oh, it's temperature related or it's this related. And I had a friend of mine who studies all of the tree things. And, you know, she said, no, the trees are smart. They know when to let go. And it may or may not be related to, quote, the temperature, as we think it is, right?
Sure.
But as humans, we do not know how to be like the tree.
Well, that's why when I thought about talking today, the idea of trees, and it's perfect because it's fall. Most people can relate to fall, well, except for our southern friends, right, who have similar season all the time. But we know the idea of fall, right, and the whole thing around when to hold on and when to let go. And I think the tree analogy is so perfect because when you see trees, especially now, I'm in Colorado, some of them are still fully holding on because we haven't had a big storm yet, right? Changing colors, and others have them dumped their leaves. And I kept thinking about this month, how do they know when to hold on and when to let go? And then how could we translate that into us? How do we know what to hold on to and what to let go of and when to do it? And I think that's such a human struggle. So I wanted to use that analogy, especially now is the perfect time of year, to think about holding on to things and letting go. And how do we know? Right? And how do we make it possible? And with a tree, a lot of things I've noticed when the leaves finally do come off the tree, the tree is able to store its energy, its core energy, and prepare. It may not look like it's doing much, but it's preparing and it's resting and it's getting ready and there's growth going on, even though we can't see it. It made me think about humans too. When is there a time to let go and store your energy and prepare, right? And what keeps us strong. So there are a lot of things to talk about today. But the tree is central.
All right. So, okay, where do we want to start? Okay, so let's talk about this idea of identity. If you could just give us a rundown through this. And let me just tell you why. I work with women in addiction and alcoholism and addiction recovery. And one of the ladies that is a member of NA, Narcotics Anonymous, in case people don't know, That's the drug part of 12 steps. She said to me, I'm like Rue in the series Euphoria. Now, what does that mean to me when you're sponsoring somebody in a program that says, if you want to know me, I'm like Rue? So who do you think binge-watched the entire season of Euphoria over the weekend? Now, I binge-watched it because I was online working on a whole bunch of technology things. But by the time I was done, I had such a depth of understanding of what this person thought about herself and how she saw herself. Can you talk about this? Can you talk about personal identity from your perspective?
Yes, and I think understanding the topic of holding on and letting go is rooted in this, in our personal identity. And we need, sometimes when we talk about letting go, it's like, I should just let go of everything and I should just be, you know, ready for that. And I often say, no, there's some things we need to hold on to for sure. And our personal identity, I feel like it's worth examining, because sometimes our personal identity, how it gets formed and then also how it serves us, changes over time. So when we're, it's really not static. Like some people think my personal identity, this is just how I am and I'm static and that's it. And I feel like if you look at the history of your life and see how you've grown and changed over time, you'll see yourself, aspects of your personal identity shifting or changing, adopting new ones, ready to let go. And we can think, it could be as simple as a label. Like when we're in school, we're a student, you know, then we're a worker. And then maybe some of us are really have a personal identity to attach to our work titles, right? Because I'm a doctor or a therapist or whatever. Like we have identities around that, or maybe becoming a mother, right? To me, that was a big identity shift. But really, the reason it's important to think about your identity, sometimes we have parts of our identity that no longer serve us, but we act like it is. The label of who we are is what we are. So the totality of it all, like if I never finished school, let's say, then I feel like I'm a failure, then I am a failure, right? Or if I cannot achieve something in my life, like let's say I've always been in debt and it's been hard to get out of it, and I'm a person who struggles with money, and that mantra becomes like that a lot of us too with our weight and our health. Like if I'm overweight, that's how I am, that's how I'll always be. And we identify ourselves in these ways that don't serve us or our growth. But because sometimes our personal identity is so ingrained, either internally, right, or externally, people say, why do you think you can do that? You'll never be able to do that. Or, you know, no one in our family ever did that. Like, we get these external things as well. So sometimes it's the external forces of what the society says, who we're supposed to be or what we can achieve. Then we have the internal. And what I feel like is sometimes our personal identity needs an audit, right? And we need to say, what things that I'm believing about myself may no longer be true for me? What things are no longer serving me in this moment? What if I could adapt a different kind of identity that could move me along? What am I ready to let go of? Right, and we have those are some really big questions. So it's not like something you wake up one morning and be like, I'm ready just to let it go. Right, I feel like that's why the analogy of the tree. There's a time, yeah, and a space and a season, but you have to be willing to stand in that moment to say, let me look at myself right now in this time and space, not with criticism, but with curiosity. Right, to speak to the other side of this too, some things about me are awesome. I want to hold on to my, let's say if I'm a really tenacious person and loves my willingness to engage with all kinds of people and work hard and love hard and have empathy, those are parts of my personal identity that I'm proud of, right? And those are parts that I continue to want to grow and explore. So I feel like, you know, baby with the bathwater, sometimes when we want to make, yeah, because it's all wrong or it's all bad. And I think it's important to weigh both sides. There's some things you should definitely hold on to. And there's some definitely things in the time and space and season that you're probably ready to ease out of.
Yeah.
That's personal identity to me in a nutshell, that it's not static. It is flexible and changing, but you are the creator of the change in your identity. You're the decider, I guess, in terms of I'm deciding what fits my identity now and what doesn't.
Yeah, and what's interesting is I live in the Pacific Northwest. You live in the Denver area, right?
Correct.
And so we live in two different places of the world. Yet what we know is that here we go through seasons. And every season, depending upon where you live, has a change. Now, if you're my buddy Mark Anthony and you're down there in Florida, then what? You're putting on a sweater. But if you're in Denver or Colorado, where one of our hosts just moved to a place in Colorado, then this is a different winter for you. Mm-hmm. If you're here in the Pacific Northwest and it is this time of year, and you could see the sun coming in on this side, what you know is that this is a beautiful day all of a sudden that I didn't expect. But we knew it just rained for 6 days, horrific flooding over the weekend. I almost couldn't get home from the office. Mm-hmm. And yet it'll start raining again tomorrow. Changes that kind of drive you to thinking about how you're going to live your life. Are you going to let go of every single thing you want to do outside because it rains? Well, don't move to the Pacific Northwest.
Wiser words were never spoken, right?
Just don't move here. If you come here in the summer and you're thinking, no. But let's talk about this from a perspective of our lives, because there are some things, just like you talked about the tree, there are some things personal to our identity which are positive, and then there are others that don't serve us anymore. This is the trick. Like my mama used to say when she would sing that, like, Kenny Rogers song, I think it was, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that the life lesson, though?
Yes, and that is the push-pull, right? And that is the finding harmony within ourselves to know what we're holding on to and know how and when to let go. And that's why I think a lot of times when people, like in my line of work as a therapist, a lot of people feel like, I need to change everything about my life. Like, everything's wrong. And they might come in a crisis or one part of their life is overtaking other parts. And we forget our strengths. We forget what's right about us, right? And what I find in my work with people is what makes it harder to let go and to change is this overwhelming sense of negativity and judgment about what is wrong with you instead of what is right with you. And so I think if you can look at personal identity as starting out with what's right with me, what do I like about myself, what am I rooted in that really fits, then when you're looking to let go and the push-pull of that, you can look again with curiosity and compassion to say, without judgment, what things are no longer serving me? Yeah. What labels do I no longer want in my life? Or how am I going to choose to gracefully let this either part of my life go, right, or part of my identity that no longer really matches me? Or am I going to have the courage to say, even if society says you should feel this way about yourself, and I say, well, I don't.
Oh,
and
my God.
I'm taking a different path. Right. And I have to say, this came up for me recently. I just turned 50 and I was having an identity crisis for a little bit. Like, what does a 50-year-old do? Like, what happens when you're 50? And I just had to giggle at myself of it because it just came up as like a kind of a surprise to me that I would be wrestling with, like, what does it mean to be 50? What do you want it to mean? You know, like I kind of wrestled with that identity of like, what does that want to me? And then I was also thinking about my identity in terms of over my lifespan, what I've identified with over the years of my life, from like primarily a kid to then a scholar and a student and then therapist. And then an identity that took me so long to shift was a professional speaker. I would tell people I speak sometimes. I say, I'm a therapist who speaks sometimes. Right, because I couldn't own the identity and like how my life changed when I started saying I'm a professional speaker, right? And like, so at 50, I kind of look back at different shifts in my life and say, like, what have I identified over my lifespan, and how can I embrace this new time in my life, you know, with whatever, however it's going to unfold for me now.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, let's talk about this, because I got a couple things on this we got to really get down to, right, which I love. One, when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the most painstaking things that we go through as human beings, and I can't speak for the men, but I know as women, we usually have the chore of looking at what we own. But what happens when two people come together? What happens when you're single one day and now you're in relationship and now you get the U-Haul and you're getting ready to pack her up, move her into a place together. Let's take this conceptual idea about belief and about letting go, and let's bring it down to real terms. Because why? You know, when we think about these feelings we have and these beliefs we have, they turn out in the most incredible materialistic tree. Has dumped that cedar stuff all over my backyard. That's like a material thing. Also, it's why Christina Aguilera at 40 years old is popping it through with her new single in Spanish. Yes. How does one keep the spirit alive? Let's take a short break. Carrie Knudsen joining us here today. Her show, it is amazing. What are you all thinking about? What are you ready to let go of, and what do you need some help to let go of? When we come back, we're going to share our deepest secrets about that. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, me, Yvonne, in the Realm of Being each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Being.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. So great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. You're listening to Get Big Out Loud with Carrie Knudsen. Carrie, before we roll on, look, you are somebody, you're out in the world, you're working with young people, you do these amazing, funny things, you're a professional speaker, a storyteller, counselor, mother. Benny, we have not seen her do the closet rap artist thing, so we gotta get that for the next show. We got to get the rap for the next show.
I need a back beat and a topic. That's all I need.
That is the topic.
She's already spitting some confidence right there.
I think she's got it. So that's going to be the name of our new show, right?
Spitting some confidence?
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Not bad. Not bad.
That's what I love that. I love that.
Came up with it.
the topic for our next show. But look, you are in the world. Look, you've been up in front of a one-woman storytelling show. You call yourself, and honestly, I'm getting a hot flash even just saying it right now, a chronic extrovert. Yeah, imagine doing a show, chronic extrovert meets chronic introvert. That's us right here today. But we're taking on the letting go thing. How do people find out more about you, everything you're up to? Because you are like, got it going on. How do we do that?
You can find me on any social media handle at KnutsonSpeaks.com or Instagram or Facebook at KnutsonSpeaks. It's KNUTSON. And really, everything I'm trying to put out in the world, whether it's through my storytelling show or this podcast or my coaching or my presentations, it's all about applied psychology, how we connect with people, our human relationships, tangible ways to think a little differently about what's going on. And so I think no matter what the venue is, I'm really excited about connecting with people. And that's my chronic extrovertness, I think, coming out is I love people. I love to be with them. I love their ideas. I love to hear about their different perspectives. And I think that's fueled a lot of my business because I get to be with so many different people and really grow from those experiences. So I love everything that I get to do is in alignment with my values and what I'm excited about doing.
Now, look, I want to go back to this because I mentioned Xtina. I have been a Christina Aguilera fan. Benny will tell you. We're actually in her bio. Trust busting is in her bio because we gave her an award back in the day for her album Stripped. I mean, that was the most, how should I say it, bold set of lyrics and music about women and about people of the LGBTQ community and about people of color to come along in a really long time. So now she comes out, this former all-new Mickey Mouse Club alum. Now she comes out and I'm not kidding. Nobody's going to tell her, you're 40, don't do this. It's just not going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And now she comes out and drops a single with two other women. And it is a single that it pays homage to women. So this is a woman that has stayed true. Go back, did that album contrary to her label. Her label's like, no, you can't do it. No. And she's like, yes, I'm going to do it. And now she's back full circle in just an amazing song that pays homage to women. And it's called For My Girls. But it's Spanish, right? Para mis muchachas. And, there we go with that. Stay true to oneself. Now, here's the question for you. This is a woman, just like you and me, and she faces what you and me face. She may be ex-Tina, so what? Doesn't matter. But we have to make decisions every day on what to hold on to, what's going to support who we are and what's not. For her to come full circle, right,
mm-hmm.
20 years later, and still be talking about what's important to her. She has not missed a beat. So how do you and I do that? And how do we help our listeners do that?
Well, I see how you're inspired by that right now, Dr. Pat. Like, you are inspired by someone else showing up, right? And kind of, in my mind, I don't know as much about Christina Aguilera as obviously as you do, but from what you're telling me, it seems like she started out one way, reinvented herself, came back, stood firm, is making something now that's really authentically her and showing up in the world with that. And you're loving it. Is that right?
And she's admitting this, just like the rest of us. Oh, by the way, how do you feel about that, Christina? She says, about writing in Spanish? Oh, intimidating and scary. Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we talking about letting go of the stuff that is just holding us back from being all we can be?
Yes, but I feel like that is such the crux question of everybody who's suffering with anything right now, right? Like, I'm not enough. I'm not courageous enough. I'm scared of whatever. And those things feel really true, right? When you say, like, I don't know if I have the courage or I'm afraid because, like, there's a difference, though, I think, between fear and danger, right? And part of it has to, like, recognize sometimes fear is the thing that's saying, yeah, you're scared because it's out of your comfort zone. It's new. Someone might judge you. It might not be perfect. And then you have to go into the next level of, like, what's my idea of perfectionism? Why, who am I trying to please? Why does this have to be for somebody else and not me? Like, so it takes a few layers of thinking to get, I think, to the point where you're like, I'm going to do it anyway, right? Despite what other people might judge me for. And I think the judgment of other people really keeps us small, because it's either, who is she to do that? Who does she think she is, right? Or if it's not perfect and it's, let's say you fail, the judgment of failure. Or I say, and very rarely do I see anyone full out fail at something. I see where it could have been better or where, like, they might do it different next time. But even when I think about, like, when I think about my own idea to do a show, a one-woman storytelling show, and I was talking to a good friend of mine named Laura, and I was like, I'm so scared to do this show. And she was like, what, all you do is talk in front of people. Oh, that's your job, and now you're scared to do a show. I'm like, no, because it's about me.
Yeah.
It's about me, so people could judge my stories and me when I talk about psychology at someone else. So they can judge, you know, whoever they want. I mean, don't judge Carl Rogers, because he's a, like, father.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can judge anyone you want. Let's judge Freud, okay? But then the judge...
Yeah, let's judge Freud. We could do that in another show.
But the idea of, like, oh, no, someone's going to judge me, because when we take those steps to go out of our comfort zone to say, like, this is what's true for me in this moment. This is how I want to express myself. This is what I want to say. This is what I want to put out in the world, especially if it hasn't been done before or in a way that you can do it. I think that the judgment piece gets so wrapped up, and fear goes along with that, right? So when we see people do it anyway, like, deal with their fears and deal with their judgment, we get inspired, right? Like,
yeah.
Just so far now, Christina doing it. And you may be inspired to do something else that's not release a Spanish language single, right?
Oh, my God. Tell me how many times I've had to face my fear in the last month about things that I'm planning and things that I'm doing. I mean, honestly, we could do a whole other show on that. But, you know, here's the thing now. Kids are buying this T-shirt all over the place now. It's a mantra. It's from the – okay, Benny, I have to mention it again, because just saying right here, Carrie just brought up fear, so I'm just saying. In the movie Dune, it has become – it's the litany. It is now the T-shirt everybody's getting. Fear is the mind killer. And there's a litany that comes out of that movie, and it's from the author of the book Dune. But it's, I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. So when it's gone past, he's going to, like, look back. Like, but he's going to look back from within the inner eye. Mm-hmm. Where the fear is gone, there will be nothing, only I will remain. So I was interviewed the other day, and somebody said, you know, we heard you talking about this one thing, like, over and over and over again, Pat. And I said, yeah, are you talking about Dune? They said, yeah. I said, you know, but there's a piece of that missing. Here's what it is. Fear is the mind killer, but resentment is the heart killer. You see, resentment, the number one offender, it is the thing. You jump in here now, please. It will be the thing. So you got your mind going in your past of fear, but resentment will have you hold on to those divorce papers for a year. Hello. Go ahead, Terry.
Hello. See, resentment is interesting because I feel like resentment, you just opened a big box right there. Resentment is interesting, right? Because it's easy to say, I resent you because you didn't let me, and I resent you because I can never do this. And part of, I think, owning our identity is this idea of, how do I deal with my resentments? Like, do I need, as I'm learning things, right, and traveling on, like, how do I set boundaries that work for me so I don't build resentment? How do I also not give so much of my control away to other people, right? Because I feel like the control we give to other people allows for resentment. Like, I'm going to resent you for doing something I never told you I didn't like. Or I'm going to let you blow through my boundaries and then resent that. Or I'm never going to say, I see this in women a lot, and myself included, I always have to work on it. When I need help or saying something like, I cannot do everything, I cannot, nor should I. And then nor should I feel guilty for not being able to have a job, go shopping, cook, do the bills, go through the mail, manage the kids' science projects, and, like, clean, have a clean house. Like, and the resentment that builds up around, like, who am I mad at? The world for expecting that, right? But, and or my partner, my husband, for not just knowing what I need. So sometimes I feel like with resentment that then turns into anger, we have to be really careful about that because we have a lot of control over how resentment grows if we think about how am I setting my boundaries? What will and I won't do? How am I communicating my needs to other people? And then how am I using my courage to get me out of situations with people that are going to make me resentful, right? So I yeah. think a lot of it, resentment is a big, like you said, you're going to blow it up here because you have to look at resentment from both sides.
Yeah, you do.
And the internal control that you have.
And I love that we put fear and resentment together because I know what the acronym for fear is in my book. I am a truck driver's daughter, so I can tell you what I learned growing up, what fear meant, right? It is basically F everything and run. That is the way it was described to us growing up as kids in that language. Now, I didn't say the cuss word, Benny, so I think I'm okay with that. But, you know, what do you learn about that? You learn that, wait a minute, if you're running and you're running and you're running, it doesn't mean you're not dragging three iron caskets behind you that are chained to you that you mm-hmm. cannot let go of.
Well,
so tell me.
When you say that, though, it's so interesting, right? Because you're saying what you learned about in childhood about responding to things, right?
Well, fear, about fear. But, like, we would get these talks on fear. People got sex talks. We got fear talks.
We got fear talks. The fear, time for the fear talk, Patty. The whole idea of, like, what you drag behind you. So you get this messaging, right, on fear and then what to do about it. And then at some point in your life, you outgrow that or you recognize, man, I'm dragging a lot of stuff with me from the past, and I have to just stop from it to question, does this still serve me? Do I want to be dragging this around? Does this feel like I can manage this? Is it possible, too, that I really needed that at some point in my life? And you could say, thank you. Wow, you really taught me something. Or you got me through a tough spot. Oh, yeah, that's an old way of thinking that I understand where that came from without having to be, like, wrong or bad or horrible or, like, blame someone. Like, you did this to me. Now I can resent you. Can you see, like, whatever was in the time and what it was, but now you have the choice, you have the fortitude and the power, the locus of control coming here to, again, let things go with grace means to say, like, oh, I see how that served me at a time, or I see how that messaging really impacted me. And I'm choosing a different, I'm choosing to let it go with grace. I always say let things go with grace so that what you grasp onto can grab with grace as well. Like, but letting things go with grace is also a worthy endeavor. Instead of, like, burn it all down or blame everyone who wronged you or, like, raise your fist in the air and say, this is why everything's wrong with your life. Like, part of me, is, again, the slowing things down to, like, nature time in your season, in your way, looking at yourself with love and compassion for all the things you might have drug along. Instead of criticizing yourself and saying, no one else is doing this, or how can I let go sooner, or, like, I can't believe I believe it. Whatever it is you're going to say to yourself, a lot
all of
that is so, that doesn't feel exciting to me or, like, hopeful or easy or loving.
No, it's really heavy. Hard. And, you know, to be honest with you, man, it had to be about 20 years ago. I went to a psychic in Port Townsend, and I was at the door, and she said, don't come in before you tell me who are the three people in the iron caskets that are chained to you that you're bringing in my room. I mean, she saw it. And
oh
I named
God.
Them immediately. I
did
named
you know?
Them immediately. Oh, I did. I named them, like, boom, boom, boom. And then I came in. Really, for people listening, you know in your gut when something's ready to come up. You know, there are a couple things in life I'd like you to comment on, if we could, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that happen when someone we love passes. I'm not talking about divorce. I mean, like a mom or a dad. Mm-hmm. And one of the hardest things that I've watched people go through, it's not been my experience because basically everyone in my family has died suddenly, like alive, now dead. That's the way they roll. But other people, not so much. You know, I've watched my best friend go through taking care of the mom for 12 years and now still has mom's stuff and is thinking, I have to move these on. Mm-hmm. And see, this is another part of this. See, when the heart hurts, not in a bad way, you see, we always think letting go has got to be bad, but the heart hurts. And we still have to let go, right? But we can let go, as you said, to coin your phrase, with grace. Tell us what that looks like, Carrie.
Well, I think it's interesting that you bring up death around that because it's a very easy way to think about it. Most people have some experience with death in some way where you feel like, oh, I have to really struggle with, like, what does it mean to let go of this person physically, emotionally, their possessions, what they meant to be in my life, who I am without them, how I feel in this moment because of this change that has happened to me, you know, and our expectations too of ourselves around grieving, like, are we doing it right? Are we doing it for too long? How, like, what should we be sad about or not? Like, it's funny because I think death brings up a lot around how we let go with grace, right? But it's always conflicted with a lot of emotion. And again, sometimes we diminish that emotion, which keeps us from letting go gracefully because we either, I shouldn't feel this way, or let's say, like, we have conflicting emotions. Like, I'm thinking for myself around death, sometimes feeling like so much sadness, but then anger.
Oh.
Those conflicting emotions of, like,
yeah,
that. And but that's part of, like, in the moment, letting yourself be like, oh, I'm having these conflicting feelings. Instead of, like, pushing them away, wishing them to be different, judging yourself. Part of letting go with grace is acknowledging all the things, right? Without judgment, but with curiosity. Right? And yeah. Listening in my season, like, it's interesting for me because when I think about this, the idea of letting go of things, my dad passed a few years ago, and I've been thinking about, gradually over the last 4 years, I've gotten rid of different possessions of him, right? And at some point, those possessions were so important to me, and over time, I've been able to be like, this book is not my dad. This thing is not my dad, right?
Yeah.
But I think about what's interesting, what remains now after 4 years, is a picture of him that I love playing piano and his accordion. And I keep thinking, what's the summary of a life, of his life to me, or these things that I have of him in my presence that I don't want to let go of? Because those things ground me. They, now I can look at them with joy. And for a while, I didn't even look at a picture, right? It would just send me into, but I'm seeing myself change, and I'm acknowledging that I'm changing. And I'm also acknowledging, like, that I needed help in that too. I had to have a friend who has an organizing business come and take a garage of stuff away. But I said, part of letting go with grace is also not trying to do it all yourself. And I said for her, I said, she has an organizing and design company, and it's amazing. And I said, can you help me with a move out that's not my stuff? Can you physically come to my house and take this? Because it's too emotional for me.
Oh, my God. We have to get her for Linda.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing. It's an amazing company. Can I say what it is?
Yes, of course.
It's called Room Redefined. And the owner is Erin Gaskins. And she helps me so much with that transition, right? The letting go of physical things that were holding on, my emotional things that were, like, weighing me down judgmentally, and sometimes asking for help around letting go or getting new perspective can be life-changing. And she has an organizing business, but it was more like a therapy session, right, for me to see in those times in our life, sometimes letting go, we need other people. We also need to be vulnerable, and that's why letting go with grace also involves acknowledging other people in our lives, and the fact that, you know how we have this independence streak in the United States of go it alone, figure it out, do it, don't let anyone see that you're vulnerable. So not only asking for help, but showing your vulnerability, like, maybe I don't know how to let go, but I kind of know it's time, right? Maybe I need some new ideas about it. Doesn't have to be a personal judgment, like, why can't you figure it out, can you send everyone else's? Like, maybe sitting with that, like, I just don't know, but maybe somebody else does, or maybe asking for help or being vulnerable enough to say I'm in a tough spot and I know this doesn't serve me, but I'm not quite sure of my way forward. See, to me, that's generous. That's realistic. That's thoughtful. It's feels empathetic to ourselves, right? And I think letting go comes from creating that safe space around yourself to cultivate your courage, right? To start ideating in a new way, to generally release things without gripping so tightly. We can just hold on and then let go, like the leaves, right? So all of those things play into, I think, letting go with grace and how we can do that.
Well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to follow up with that because you said something really interesting and super important in this entire conversation. What is it about letting go that keeps us holding on? Right? What is it about letting go that keeps us holding on?
That's a good thing to say to that. That's a great
hanging on. How many people redid that song? I know the Supremes did it, right, Benny? You Keep Me Hanging On. Vanilla Fudge did it. Who knows Vanilla Fudge? Anybody raise your hand. Anybody other than me, raise your hand if you even know that band.
Is it the cousin of Vanilla Ice?
No, Vanilla Fudge. Y'all look it up now. You'll listen to their crazy stuff. It's good. But, you know, this idea, you said it before, when we come back, Carrie Knudsen is going to take us on a journey about what it means to BTWO. BTWO. Stay tuned. When we come back, you're going to get all about BTWO from Carrie Knudsen, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com. It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Have you ever felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path toward the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ognito, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOgnito.com.
So how do you value your self-worth? Join Dr. Pat and Sabrina Wright as they introduce Sabrina's holistic approach to self-care and inner peace. Get empowered to make decisions for yourself. Change your view of your own values and learn the tools for investing in who you're designed to be. Live the good life every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on the Dr. Pat Show featuring Sabrina Wright. To learn more, visit SabrinaIsWRIGHT.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformation, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
That's it. You keep me hanging on, right? Like, you don't really want me, but you keep me hanging on. That's going to trigger a few things right there. Benny, thank you. Carrie Knutson joining me here today. Carrie, how do people find out about you? And then you're going to talk to us about BTWO.
Okay. You can find me anywhere at KnutsonSpeaks.com or on social media, on the web. That's where I am. And I do presentations, coaching, and I have a one-woman show. A lot of my work right now is I've done a new presentation called Thriving Through Change, which is all about, like, how we embrace what's next for us, which has been interesting. A lot of my work has been based in emotional intelligence, but I do a lot with human development, applied psychology, and things, basically anything that I love to talk about regarding people and how we operate.
All right. So are you ready to, like, give us a little lesson here on this? Because things we can learn in the evolution of ourselves in this lifetime. But it's so tied in to belief as well. One of the really toughest beliefs we carry is, and again, as we get older, we let age determine the action we'll take in life. I'm too old to this. Well, that is not Christina Aguilera, because basically if you're 40 in that industry, hello, what are people saying to you about that? Mm-hmm. But it's not her belief. But there's a trust that she must have. And if you look up the definition of trust and you take it to where you are, which what you this is what you're going to tell us about right now. You ready? This is to tell us about BTWO, building trust with ourselves. Building that thing, that firm belief in the reality and reliability of truth, ability, and strength of someone or something. And in this case, ourselves. Take it away.
Wow, what a setup. You've like hit it. I'm ready to hit it out of the park now. Thanks for the pitch. I love it. But yes, building trust with ourselves, that is the primary, I feel like the primary lesson of life as we move forward. When we can trust ourselves, that really speaks to our growth, right? Because I feel like when you think of the idea of trust, a lot of us look externally for validation or recommendations. What should I do? Where should I go? What should I do? Who should I be? According to you, outside sources. And I feel like we're taught from a young age not to trust ourselves or not to listen to ourselves, and that we're in a process as we grow of how do I bring back trust in terms of my preferences, my opinions, who I want to be, how I want to show up in the world. How do I build trust with myself to show up for myself, right? To not judge myself or criticize myself. How do I build a trusting relationship with myself so I can show up however I am to me? And this is what I mean by that. That might seem a little convoluted, but I feel like a lot of us have these personas and we put things out to the world and like everything's fine, everything's good. I'm busy just like everyone else's, and I have my same set of complaints like everyone else's. But then underneath, what we do when we don't acknowledge our truths, like I'm suffering right now, I'm having a hard time, or I'm in a difficult situation, or I'm actually really in a good place, but I don't want to say anything because nobody wants to hear that, right? So whatever it is, I feel like sometimes we have this duality of our existence where we project one thing and then we live another on the inside. And that also with the things that we do that breach our trust with ourselves is when we tell ourselves things is so critical, right, that it's hard to trust our own mind sometimes. So let's say when we're trying to take a risk and put ourselves out there, that's like our best self, like trusting and I will do my best and things will go my way. And then let's say the critic in you is like, why did you think you could do that? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Of course you're going to fail because you're too old, bad, insecure. You don't have the right to hear. Whatever you're going to say, whatever, a million judgments, right? So that's a breach then from the self, that the little part that we need to protect, that's like, I'm going to try this. I trust that I can, and I'm going out with courage. I feel like that little part is like this, and then the other voice comes in like, and how does that voice feel safe to trust itself to try again, right? When those things are within your brain, right, playing as a game, and if you don't bring consciousness to it, the louder voice is the voice of criticism, the voice of doubt, the voice of fear, the voice of anger, the voice of otherness. And all of that voice, those voices are so much louder than the little voice of trust that says, I believe in myself,
I'm safe. I can try this. It's okay. I don't have to be perfect. I'm willing to change. I want to change. I know who I am, and I know where I want to be. Like, that's a softer, quieter, more steady voice, but it doesn't, it's not throwing a party up here like these guys are loud, you know, the loud guys are going to be kicked out. That's why I think we need to quiet ourselves, and why I feel like we can learn a lot from nature and the cycles of our lives, being quiet, coming in, listening to that voice that knows what's true for us, and building trust within ourselves. So when those other voices come in, that you can say that that's not true for me right now, or I used to believe that, but I don't, or that doesn't serve me any longer, or I'm trying to do something here.
I love this. I'm going to give you an example. You comment on it, and I'm going to make it really quick. I bought a device, piece of exercise equipment a couple of months ago, and I did a lot of research. And I got a MaxFit trainer, not an elliptical and not a stair stepper in between. When I bought it, I was 1,000,000% clear and put it together, got it set up. And all of a sudden, I start to get the belief it's too hard. I can't do it. And it took me 8 weeks to figure out that that was a belief I had. Now, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but here we are. How do we help people today? First of all, awareness is number one. Number two is take action to change it, right?
Sure, with kindness and compassion to yourself. Because courage isn't, to me, courage is like a short-lived match when you're like, I'm going to be courageous and just do it, versus like the slow burn, right, of thoughtfulness. Going into yourself, making a decision for yourself, realizing your identity doesn't have to be so kind of strict or like when you think about how it can be fluid. Like, I love the idea of bamboo is strong but flexible, and I feel like that's how we have to be too. The parts of ourselves that we lean into that we know we can depend on strong, and the flexibility to shift and make changes, right? But it all has to be done through the lens of empathy, love, encouragement, support. It cannot be done through criticism and fear. And that's when you're dragging stuff around with you, like the idea of like, it took me a long time to figure out this is a story I'm talking about that doesn't serve me, right? But then saying, well, at least I learned it now.
Yeah.
Right? I'm ready to be open. And I think part of self-awareness is being willing to be self-aware, being willing to check yourself, being willing to look at your life through an outside perspective, be like, is this true? Does this really serve me? Is this how I want to be in this moment? And yes, fear and judgment, I see you, right? But I've come into this place, I'm trust in my highest good in myself and whatever it is you want to call it, intuition, that voice, everyone has a different word for it. But I do think cultivating that is like the root of the tree, right? And the base of it. But no matter what's going on over here, you know who you are and you have the courage to show up. Right? You have the courage to let things go. You have the courage to rebloom. You have the courage to be all sassy and show off your fall colors, right? And then you start again, right? But this comes from a base of something. And there are a lot of good things about you already and a lot of things and qualities that will help you to let go with grace and give you courage to let go with grace and move you forward with grace.
That's why you and I show up with twinkle lights in our show frame, right?
Yeah.
Look, thank you for today. Thank you for taking us on this journey. As always, it's for both invigorating. And thank you for the bamboo analogy, because there isn't anything that I can think of that can be so hard and durable and yet one of the softest fabrics you can get. Isn't that interesting to be able to be both?
Yes, yes. And that's why I love analogy and story and visuals. It is between the tree or the bamboo or the leaves, whatever speaks to you today, encourage you to think about that. What parts of that do I have in myself, right? Because sometimes when we can visualize that as an external thing, we can then internalize it a little bit easier because we think in pictures and stories and it's easy for us to see that. And I do hope today two people take away this idea of there's more that's right with you than what's wrong with you. And the idea of you don't have to let everything go and change it all and do whatever. There's probably a lot that you want to hold on to that's helped you. And there's probably a lot of things that are no longer serving you that with an eye to some curiosity and some compassion to really move you forward as you shift into whatever season of your life that you're currently find yourself in.
I love it. Carrie Knutson, everybody. I'm Dr. Pat.
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big. Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Betty Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sun. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Still heavy traffic flow on I-5 southbound as you're rolling through North Seattle and South Shoreline into downtown Seattle. Good thing it breaks free after the 520 and I-90 exit. 405 northbound is smoothed out since this morning's rush. Still just a little slow in that area. That's 405 northbound out of those S-curves by Park Drive. But smooth into Bellevue. Enjoy your Monday. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's the good news segments of the week.
NBC News Radio. I'm Scott Carr. Any American 18 and older might eventually be eligible for a new COVID booster shot from Pfizer. That's according to three officials familiar with the situation, speaking with the Washington Post. A filing request from Pfizer and its partner BioNTech for it to be authorized could come as soon as this week, and sources say it's likely to win the backing of the FDA. A Pfizer spokesperson declines to confirm the company's plans. Authorities in Houston are still trying to find out exactly what caused Friday night's deadly stampede at the Astroworld Music Festival. During a performance by rapper Travis Scott, 8 people were killed, over 300 injured. And it's not the first time there's been injuries at a Travis Scott show. In 2017, the rapper was arrested for allegedly encouraging the audience to rush the stage. And Liz Warner reports as the lawsuits pile up following that concert, New Yorkers are remembering a disturbingly similar incident 30 years ago.
The fan surge during Travis Scott's Astroworld performance left 8 people dead, and it's eerily reminiscent of a 1991 crowd disaster at a Manhattan gymnasium. Back then, tickets had been oversold to a celebrity basketball game at City College featuring Heavy D and P. Diddy, with desperate fans causing a deadly stampede. 9 people were crushed to death and over 24 injured, resulting in multiple lawsuits. A judge subsequently ruled both artists and venue liable, and the suits were settled privately.
Johns Hopkins University is reporting today there's now more than 250 million coronavirus cases worldwide. The U.S. with more than 46 million of those. The death toll in the U.S. standing at more than 754,000. There's an investigation underway now into an incident involving the University of Washington football head coach Jimmy Lake, who allegedly shoved a student athlete. Como TV reports video of the incident during Saturday's game with rival Oregon appears to show Lake hitting a redshirt freshman on the helmet and then shoving him. The university's athletic director is investigating. Scott Carr, NBC News Radio.
There are 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth. Base is loaded. The Seattle Mariners trail the LA Dodgers by 3 runs in Game 7 of the World Series. Who would you rather see step up to the plate? Mitch Haniger or a promising but yet untested player just called up from the minors? If Mitch Haniger is your choice, that means experience is important to you. That's what Voices of Experience with Paul Casey is all about. Tune in to Voices of Experience every Wednesday at 3 p.m. right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk Weather Outlook for Monday. What will see partly sunny skies today after that morning rain burns off. High temperatures are 56, 57 degrees. A little bit of wind also out of the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, clouds, an increasing chance of rain showers. Low temperatures dropping down about 49. For Tuesday, more rain and the wind will pick up. Those windy conditions expected to be 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 in selected areas. High temperatures are 50, 51 degrees. Tuesday night, more rain. The wind will die down. Low temperatures dropping down to about 44. For Wednesday, clouds and rain again. Highs around 52.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Everybody, welcome to our good news segment. Anytime there's an opportunity for me to talk about what we are providing, how we are providing it, and what we can do to really create an amazing life for our veterans, people that have served this country. Many of you have heard me talk about this. I come from that kind of family. And so one of the things that I want to do is talk about two things at one time because they're both equally important. I want to talk about the Medicare annual enrollment. I also want to talk about the importance of how we can support our veterans when it comes to financial planning. How, and when you put these two together, they are related in more ways than you can imagine. Ed Sandrick joining me here today, director of Veterans Channel Humana, and JJ Montanaro, also Financial Planning USA. Thank you, gentlemen. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having us. Great to be here.
Now, I got to tell you this, up close and personal, I know how healthcare and money is related. Because I knew what it cost me when back in the day I didn't have insurance, I didn't have Medicare, and I got very sick. And so when you take the conversation of looking at bringing both of these together, you're really helping people create quality of life moving forward. I want to ask you, Ed, coming off with right out of the gate with you and then JJ with you. This is a daunting time for people. Millions of people are eligible, but very rarely do we get a conversation that has to do with a Medicare Advantage plan or anything like that that involves information for our veterans. Can you tell us what is on your heart? What has called you to come forward to bring this message forward? And I want to just ask both of you this question, so JJ, you get the benefit of me asking Ed first. I want to know the top three things on your list. Ed, take it away.
Well, thanks for the question, Dr. Pat. I think what's on my heart relative to this conversation is this is a daunting time for anybody eligible for Medicare. You go out to the mailbox, and that's pretty much all you see is something in there that's describing a Medicare plan or even on TV. Veterans in particular, I think we are veterans, and there are a lot of myths and misconceptions out there about Medicare and VA coverage in particular. Many veterans believe that if they elect for a Medicare Advantage plan, that they jeopardize their benefits at the VA, which is absolutely not true.
Right.
You can have your VA health care, use VA if and when you want to, and you can also enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan and use a network of providers and hospitals and the benefits you get with Medicare Advantage. The two can work side by side. They don't conflict. They don't coordinate necessarily. You can use them at your discretion. Humana, in particular, when you talk about what's on my heart, a couple of years ago, we created the Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan, which was created with veterans in mind. It's a plan that was created to complement care that veterans get at the VA, all that anyone eligible for Medicare can enroll in the Honor Plan. It was created with veterans in mind.
There's a method to my madness of asking these questions, Ed, and there's a method because I know what it's like to have one foot in the daunting conversation about healthcare and another foot in the even more daunting conversation about financial planning. So you both have come together. Can I hop over? JJ, let me hop over to you. This is really an interesting tag team. You're like the WWE people of bringing both of these together, right? This is like a tag team conversation that many people don't do. I got to ask you, JJ, you know, where do you see a pivotal point in bringing a conversation about Medicare and financial planning together. What's popped in your heart?
Well, so to me, again, I'm coming from a financial planning background.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having problems with my wrestling outfit visual. That's causing
I can help you with that.
But anyway, so you put a price tag on that. So from a financial planning perspective, there's a lot of studies out there, but the price tag you see is $250,000 to $300,000 just on. That's going to be what the average couple, age 65, so generally Medicare eligible, is going to expend on the basic things like prescription drugs, co-payments, Medicare Part B, insurance premiums. That's a big price tag, and that really holds the power to throw you off when it comes to your financial plan and financial security. So I think it's something that folks need to be aware of. And to me, I guess when you go to Where's My Heart, it's all about being involved, being deliberate. In a case like this, this is not a simple subject. I mean, there are a lot of different variables and paths you can go down. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Asking for help is not weakness. So at USA, we have our Medicare specialists. Humana's got teams that can help answer folks and guide them down the right path.
Yeah. We're going to get back to you in a minute, because part of the conversation, at least that I've had, is I've sat around the table and had conversations where it kind of went like this. Well, it's going to cost me an extra dollar more to get dot, dot, dot. And, you know, what I love about the conversation is you lay it out and say, here's what it's going to cost if you don't get that. And that's really education, Ed. This is education information, because you know this, right? The number one question that comes up, especially for our veterans, is, well, wait a minute, if I do this, will it take this away from me? Right, Ed?
Absolutely. And as I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of myths and misconceptions out there about how Medicare and VA may not work together. And the fact is, if I'm eligible for the VA, I can use the VA healthcare system if and when I want, and I can use my Medicare plan when I want as well. The two work side by side. I'm not going to jeopardize my benefits at the VA should I enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan and use Medicare. And the two do not conflict with one another. So it is important for individuals to go to the right place to get questions like that answered. Medicare.gov is an excellent resource for all the plans that are available across the country, or Humana.com/Medicare, where individuals can understand what's available through Humana, including the Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan, which was created with veterans in mind. And through the Humana website, individuals can also schedule a visit with a licensed agent so they can ask all of those questions and get the right answers, so that when they are ready to make a decision, they can make a decision that's informed and it's going to be beneficial for them for 2022.
I know. I love what you've done on the website, too. I just want to say to people, when they go to Humana, humana.com/Medicare, when you go there, you're going to be greeted with information, questions that you probably may or may not have asked yourself. So this is really a guidepost to take you through the conversation, the short conversation that we're having today. You know, let's talk for both of you. This is my question for each of you, if you don't mind. There are benefits, and I don't mean like health benefits. I mean pros and cons when people make these decisions, right? Colonel Sandrick, one of the things that I'm really struck by is people don't know what they don't know. I know it was daunting for me. I talk about this all the time. What would you want to say to folks in this really short interview? What do you want to say to folks to give them a snapshot of the most important things you see? And then, JJ, I'm going to hop over to you with the same question.
Sure. So I'll pick this up right away. When I'm looking at a Medicare Advantage plan and whether I have VA benefits or not, I want to understand what the provider network looks like. Are the doctors and the hospitals that I would want to use in that network? If I'm on medications, and many seniors are on the medications, I want to make sure that the drugs that I need to get are part of that formulary that the Medicare Advantage plan offers. Seniors, actually everybody, but seniors especially, are on tight budgets, fixed income, and that sort of thing. So the cost of the plan is important. The monthly premium, you know, the out-of-pocket while I use the plan, the coinsurance, deductibles, and copays. I think I'd like to have my expense expenses for this year on a piece of paper, so when I talk with an agent, they can understand what I've been spending my money on where medical expenses are concerned and anticipate what things may look like in 2022. Veterans should consider the care they get at the VA and understand that Medicare Advantage won't conflict with care benefits they get at the VA. They can work side by side. They can have both. The Medicare Advantage plan can provide an expanded network, second opinions, and things like that, that folks who just have VA alone may not have an opportunity to take advantage of.
Yeah. Ed, before we hop over to JJ, one of the things that I was really struck by, at least talking with my relatives who served, was they were looking at plans like this because one of the things they're really interested is in their mental and physical well-being. And, you know, this is an ongoing conversation, especially one that we're having. And it's one that we don't talk about enough, that some of these plans offer people, how should I call it, on the website that you just sent us to, they talk about special needs plans. And I think that's important to mention to people, right? There may be some things that are unique to you. There may be some things that if you look into this a little bit further, it can give you a complete holistic perspective on your health and well-being. Do you see what I mean, Colonel?
No question about it. And every individual is different, and that's why it's important for people to take advantage of the resources that are available, mm-hmm. Whether it's Medicare.gov to understand what Medicare has to offer across the country, or Humana.com/Medicare, where I can talk with an individual, with an agent, and let that agent know exactly what's going on with me and the kind of benefits that I would need in selecting a Medicare Advantage plan. No two people are alike, whether it's the financial piece or the medical piece. It is important to get all the best advice available.
No kidding. JJ, I want to hop over to you now in the last couple of minutes we have left because, you know, people are daunted out of even inquiring because, like most of us, the dollar signs just flash in front of us. What is your role, and how do you see the role you're playing in here, literally ease the burden, right, for people who are overwhelmed with even thinking about the financial side of things?
That's a great point, Dr. Pat. And actually, I think you really hit the nail on the head because what do we do when we get overwhelmed? We do nothing, right? We kind of lock up. And so I think when you look at this particular decision, doing nothing is exactly what you don't want to do. So Ed talked about all these different factors, whether it's the network, the cost, the medications, and the formulary. Those are all right on the money. But the thing about it is what was the case last year and where you happen to be as we go into this annual enrollment period, the landscape may change in the same plan that you're in from one year to another. So if nothing else, you want to look at these options, have these conversations with folks that can help you to make a decision that's right going forward for 2022. So I guess what I was thinking is doing nothing it might be the easiest, mm-hmm. but it's not the right way to go. And don't get paralyzed because it's a complex subject. Like I said earlier, reach out for help. Find somebody that can help you. Go to Humana.com/Medicare. Go to USA.com/Medicare. Talk to a licensed specialist. And ask your questions and figure out what the right path forward is. And guess what? Next year, we're going to have the same conversation because what you did this year may not make as much sense next year. So unfortunately, it's a never-ending wheel.
Yeah, and you know what they say about, you know, not taking action. I mean, it is really the home of regrets. And that's really what we don't want for people here. We don't want that. Last question for each of you really quickly. What's the best website? And I'd love to know from each of you your personal message. What do you want to leave us with? Colonel, do you want to start out with you?
Sure. The websites would be Medicare.gov. An individual can see what's available across the country in every market. And Humana.com/Medicare, where you can see what Humana has available, including the Humana Honor Plan, which is recommended by USAA, to understand what's available there and have an opportunity to talk with a licensed agent. I think, personally, the veterans are important to our country. As JJ mentioned earlier, 9 million veterans are eligible for Medicare. About half of them use VA health care, and many of them believe that they can only have the VA health care or they would jeopardize VA health care should they enroll in Medicare Advantage. I think they need to make sure that they ask all the questions. Veterans are typically a little bit shy about that, thinking that they don't need anything else. And I think it's important for them to make that phone call or get on that website and see what's available.
Oh, thank you so much. JJ, how about for you?
Yeah, so I would just say kind of down the same path, but we're getting ready to roll into the holiday season. So what I would encourage everybody to do is have those conversations with your family in terms of where you are, where your strengths, weaknesses are, where you might need assistance. And I know it's not great Thanksgiving dinner talk, but it's conversations that we don't want to let go. So that inaction that you talked about, Dr. Pat, we don't want to be that way relative to making sure that we're getting the help we needed, having the conversations we need to have, even within our family. So it's a little bit broader than this discussion, but I think it's very important, and this is a great time to raise that issue, I think.
Absolutely. These conversations not only save lives, but they improve the quality of lives for so many that have served us unconditionally. Thank you both for everything you're doing. Thank you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. Oh, my goodness. We have got talk radio for all of us.
Really, thank you for blazing the trail for women in talk radio and just being such an inspiration to me and so many other people. What you're doing is so awesome. And, you know, without people like you there to, like, really step out of the box and go for it, I don't know if someone like me would have ever ended up here, but I'm so happy to be here. And, yeah, I just want to thank you for everything you're doing. You're one of my major inspirations.
Are you looking to gain wisdom and commit to discovering your best self? What does success mean to you? With authenticity, integrity, and compassion, Mita Jozanik helps guide you in working toward your unique vision of success. Mita is a spirit-based intuition lead and success coach. Work with Mita to uncover your unique life purpose. Schedule a free discovery call with Mita at personalwisdomcoachingnow.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you join us for a good news segment. You know, over time, we have talked about the many, many shades of breast cancer. We've done it early on, 18 years ago, and today we're talking about innovation. We're talking about technology. We're talking about importance. And we're also celebrating, if we can celebrate, October as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And why would we celebrate this? We would celebrate it because today we're talking about the progress we are making. Solomon Moskovich is joining me here today, and the AGM of Oncology at Natera. And the reason that Solomon is joining us here today is because the journey that Solomon is taking is one of high responsibility. And responsibility for looking at oncology, for looking at what is going on in oncology, for looking at how we can move forward with technology that enables us to take a snapshot of who we are, what we're capable of, and what we're at risk for. And that's the basis for a great conversation with Solomon today. Solomon, it's great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
I remember the first show I did on this was so many years ago, talking about breast cancer. And, of course, it is a conversation that happens because usually somebody close to oneself has been affected by it. But I fast forward to where we are today, and I would like for you to give people that have not been on the pulse of this an update. Where are we? Where are we statistically with breast cancer? And then we'll talk about what you're most excited about. Where are we? What's the state of the union here about breast cancer?
Wonderful. So about 280,000 women will be diagnosed this year with breast cancer. And statistics suggest that one out of every eight women are likely to be diagnosed at some point in their lifetime. That's about 13%. There are some people who are at increased risk for getting breast cancer, and that may be because of a family history or because they inherited a DNA mutation in one of their genes, in a breast cancer gene, that can increase that risk up to as high as 87% for being diagnosed with breast cancer or ovarian cancer and other cancers. Over the past couple of decades, the screening methods have improved significantly, so people are recommended to get an annual mammogram starting at the age of 45. In order to detect the cancer as early as possible if it's going to happen. And for people who are at increased risk, who are a carrier of the gene that I mentioned, those women are recommended to get an annual MRI as well as an annual mammogram starting at a much earlier age. And I think the key to all of this is early detection. And that's what I'm here to talk about, because early detection, makes a difference. But we've proven now that people who are diagnosed with stage one or two disease can frequently overcome that disease and survive for many years, and it's really about early detection.
And, that leads me to what we're talking about today in Natera, of course, and I want to make sure people know how they can find out more. I want to make sure everybody goes to the website. Solomon, what I have is Natera.com, N-A-T-E-R-A.com. Is that still correct?
That's absolutely right, Natera.com.
Okay. And the reason I want to send everybody there is because I love research. I love when people do research, and I love when then they share the research. And, here's what I love about this. When you go there, you're going to find enough information so that you can be on the pulse of what Solomon lives and breathes every day. Why? Because, Solomon, you nailed it. Early detection. That is what gives women a peace of mind. Do you know what I'm saying? That idea that we are now in a position to have early detection. Isn't that what you're finding as you do these interviews and you speak to people and you speak to women, right?
Totally agree. Natera is an innovator in medical diagnostics and genetic testing, and our mission is to enable earlier detection to inform difficult medical decisions for people with cancer or for people who are wondering about their risk. So one of the things that I'm very excited to talk about today is that there's a new technology to help detect breast cancer recurrence for somebody who's already been diagnosed with the cancer. And this is new technology that was introduced by Natera about 2 years ago and is really changing how cancer is managed, not only in breast cancer, but across all solid tumor types, including colorectal cancer, lung cancer, bladder, and more. And we've proven that Natera's test can detect recurrence up to 2 years earlier than standard diagnostics with very high accuracy.
The next question that people ask is, and this is really an important question, and probably not for this particular interview, but there is a reason to be interested in early detection. Can we talk about that for a minute, other than my comment on sort of the freedom, right, that you get from that? Give us the give us the upswing on what early detection does for women.
Yes, I'm happy to. I think it comes down to knowledge is power. So if you have a chance to detect something and be aware of a problem earlier, before, in the case of cancer, before it has spread to other parts of the body, you have a significantly higher chance of intervening and curing that disease. And that's true if you've never had a breast cancer diagnosis, but it's also true for somebody who has had a diagnosis and is worried about recurrence. Because even though October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, for those who have been diagnosed or who have a loved one who have been diagnosed with cancer, it's not about awareness. It's about living under a cloud of anxiety for a long time to know about whether the cancer is coming back. And you have to know about what tools and technologies are available to help improve your chances.
as you do these interviews and as you step out in the world, clearly this is something you're passionate about. What touched your heart to point you in this direction, Solomon? And there's always a story behind a story. I know I call this a good news segment, and it really is. But, you know, people want to know when you're out talking about something that is so important and innovative, we also want to know what's going on in your heart. Tell us about that.
I would be happy to. I've stumbled into the field of medical diagnostics just over 10 years ago, working on a project with a brilliant physician scientist at Stanford University. And about 5 years later, when I was at Natera, my father was diagnosed with a cancer of the esophagus. He was stage 3, and he was treated with everything available, chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and surgery. And we were always very worried about his cancer coming back, and in fact, it did come back. We started tracking my dad's blood with Natera's new test called Signatera. And we realized that very quickly that the test could pick up recurrence, in his case, a year earlier than scans. He had multiple negative CT scans where the Natera's blood test was picking up the cancer. And I really believe it made a difference for him. And so that's had a big impact on my life, and I want to share that story with everybody. And everybody should know about this new technology that can help get ahead of a recurrence.
Let's talk technology, but first let me thank you for sharing that, because, you know, behind coming out here, and people may not know this, they hear these short segments, but they don't know, Solomon, that, you know, you commit to days of doing these interviews to bring the message out. Let's talk for a minute about Natera. Let's talk for a minute about what this testing is about, because usually when you say testing to people, every fear about this shows up. But let's talk about what these tests are, how they're available for folks, because women need to know what to ask for. You know what I'm saying? So give us,
right,
what is the technology? Tell us about this, and let's give women language so they know what to ask for.
Great. So I'm going to tell you about two different tests. They're both blood tests, which is great because they're non-invasive. The first test that's offered by Natera is the Empower test, and that's the one that looks for an inherited gene mutation. Now, this is a change in the DNA that one would have inherited from one's parents, which confers increased risk of cancer. So we talked about that. And that's a mutation that would be present in every cell in the body. It doesn't mean you necessarily will get cancer, but it does increase the risk, as I mentioned. Now, there's a second test. That's the newer one. That's called Signatera. And the way that works is it looks for a signature of mutations that were only present in the tumor. And it looks for that signature and traces of the tumor DNA in the blood. And that's really brand new. It's remarkable the way that test works, because every patient gets a personalized test, custom built just for them based on the mutations that Natera saw in the tumor. And then Natera looks for those traces in a blood sample. And Natera can detect even a single molecule of tumor DNA in a tube of blood. And that's what enables that detection, you know, up to 2 years earlier.
And part of this, too, is, you know, bringing this message. And one of the reasons, Solomon, you're doing these interviews is to, one, demystify this, right? And what I mean by demystify it, because one of the hardest things to do, especially for women, and even to have a conversation around breast cancer, right, it is the two words that no woman really wants to hear. But what you're doing is helping us understand what the technology is, so we can really take back the power of our health, right, and know the right questions and know the latest innovations. I mean, isn't this part of why you're doing these interviews beyond breast cancer awareness? This is breast cancer you know, in advance awareness so that people can really feel empowered about knowing this, right?
I totally agree. And people should know also this is, even though this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, these tests that I described, in particular the Signatera cancer recurrence test, it's not only for breast cancer. We've proven that that the Signatera test works in colorectal cancer, in lung cancer, in bladder cancer, and really across solid tumor types to detect recurrence much, much earlier than it becomes visible on a scan. And it's really about getting a jump on the cancer coming back, if it is going to come back, and having a chance at a curative intervention. But for most people, the cancer really is gone. And this test, if it's negative, can bring enormous peace of mind.
You know, I know you're getting off to go do other interviews, and we've talked about a lot. I want to ask you this in closing. One, please let folks know about how they can find out more, and then also what they'll find when they get there, if you could do that. And then I'd love to know your personal message, what you'd like to leave us with today, Solomon.
I'd be happy to. So, first of all, talk to your loved ones, talk to your doctor about the Natera tests, and educate yourself. Visit our website. That's Natera.com, Natera.com. There's lots of information there, including peer-reviewed published studies showing how the tests are working across different cancer types. And finally, in terms of my own message, I think that there's an opportunity to protect yourself, take charge, and know about the tools that are available to you and to your loved ones to protect yourself.
Solomon, thank you so much for everything you're doing. Thank you for bringing this out there for people, and thank you all for tuning us in. We're going to take a short break. Please get educated, get informed. It will open up the pathway for the action that you personally can see to take. We'll be right back.
Do your ADHD tendencies get in the way of you doing what you intend to? Traditional strategies for getting things done may not work for you. You need solutions tailored for your unique brain. In Bonnie Minku's training membership program, Productivity Pathfinder, learn ADHD self-mastery step-by-step at your own pace in a supportive community with live online options each week. Learn more about Productivity Pathfinder at thrivewithadd.com.
Grace your space with flair. Dragon art to soothe your soul by Colette Marie Steffen is available now. Colette invested an average of 6 months on each painting. Her piece titled Courage took 3 years to complete. The paintings are printed with the latest technology to best capture the true essence of the painting. Browse the 64 dragons and dragonflies and order your paintings today at talesfromthevector.com.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Look, I love doing these segments. Dr. Samuel Kim joining me here today, thoracic surgeon at Northwestern Medicine, our friends at Northwestern Medicine. Boy, do they got it going on. This is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. And if you are like anybody that I know, and myself included, you know people that have been touched by this. You know what their journey is like. Today, what are we doing about it? Dr. Samuel Kim is the one to talk to. Dr. Kim, tell us about this. Tell us about why this has hit your heart personally.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
To you and your audience. So, obviously, lung cancer is one of the most deadliest cancer of all. It's number one lung cancer, number one cancer killer in the country.
Yes.
I think for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those people with a early lung cancer, imagine you're a cancer patient. and you find out that you have a lung nodule.
Yeah.
And they go to a specialist a week later because of the referral, and then specialists see you and say, well, let's get a lung biopsy.
Yeah.
And then you go for a lung biopsy, and it may take a few weeks later. And then if, let's say, you found the cancer, then, well, I'm going to send you a surgeon. And then the surgeon sees you a few weeks even later. And then once the surgeon starts to teach you, then and maybe book for a surgery and do the surgery either weeks and months later. So I've seen some of these patients in their journey for treatment for these cancer takes weeks, even not months. At most I've seen were, you know, 4 or 5 months after the initial diagnosis of lung nodule. And imagine the patient waiting all this time for getting diagnosis and treatment, anxiety. And then cancer could even progress, too. So there's a poor care.
Mm-hmm.
What we offer in Northwest Medicine is not only you come in and get the diagnosis using the latest robotic image-guided biopsy, but also when we know that you have a cancer, we do the surgery using a minimally invasive technique of either robot or thoracoscopic operation.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do a precision operation where we know exactly where it is using our latest imaging, and then just take that only segment of the lung, which is a much less lung that we would take for traditionally for early lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So we would be sparing patients a patient of the pain associated with the lung function will spare the lung function. So all those then translate, and then patient will go home same day if their lung has sealed up and their pain is tolerated. So from the diagnosis to treatment to going home, it could be possible for selective cooperation in that one day opposed to weeks and months of getting bounced around, and then
mm-hmm.
even after surgery, stay in the hospital anywhere from 3 to 5 days. And so the latest technique of how we do the surgery and then how we take care of the patient really all culminated the shortest length of a stay possible for one of the bigger or more complex operations we used to give. Now, I'll give you your audience
mm-hmm.
example. Traditionally, we would do operation for something like this, and patient would have a big incision across the chest wall, will break their rib, and will spread their chest wall apart, and then we would do the surgery to remove the cancer. So imagine the pain associated with it. Imagine the blood loss. Imagine the decrease in breathing because of the patients in a lot of pain. They're not going to take a deep breath, and so you're a higher chance of developing pneumonia. All these complications you could have that would delay patient from going home. Now we're able to offer all these operations using small incision, no more than a centimeter. About 3 or 4 holes, and do the accomplish exactly the same way, and so the patient could go home same day.
And, you know, the reason I was so excited to talk with you, there's a couple of reasons, but I want to get right at it. One is that,
sure.
First of all, what we're learning about surgery and operations that have to do with the use of robotics is profoundly innovative. I mean, it is bringing the sci-fi of medicine to the current time. I know because I've had 2 surgeries recently. And the fact that I got to see, not during the operation, of course, Dr. Kim, but I got to see what my surgeon was doing. It is so very different than the way we used to approach things. Isn't that one of the biggest innovations you're talking about today, is really looking at the progressive of the technology and the surgeries and what you all have created to make this, one, more successful, but number two, to make this, the healing process, more successful.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, really nice thing about able to offer operation using a very minimally invasive, less traumatic way is that those people who we used to think that they're not a candidate for surgery,
mm-hmm.
for instance, those people with a marginal lung function, or those patients who are elderly, right, who said, well, you're too old to get surgery. But you know what? The patients should get living longer, healthier. And so if you're able to offer this operation using a small incision and then potentially going home same day, now, granted that not everybody could go home same day, okay,
right,
you support a selected group of patients, lung
right.
heals up right away, but even the patients who are very advanced age, their length of stay in the hospital is no more than a day or two. My oldest patient I operated was a 94. And can you imagine any 94-year-old tolerating a big lung cancer surgery? I would have never offered it 10 years ago, right?
Right.
But now we know, right? Now we know that we could offer these least invasive procedure for patients with the highest risk. And we're able to successfully offer them these kind of operations. And so it really has transformed the way we really do the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Another added benefit, the social aspect we really don't think about. A lot of these patients, right, are sometimes the only sole caretaker for their loved ones.
Right.
Their spouse may have Alzheimer or have undergoing some other issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
They really need to be there at home. Right? And so by offering these operations, having them go home same day, they could really, you know, use that time with their loved ones and then not really be in a jam. And other situation we are seeing is that, let's say, patients are living very far away. It's very inconvenient for them to come back, going back and forth. And then with the family members too, right? And they want to visit their loved ones, so they'll have to drive 2 hours back and forth until the patient gets discharged. This way, you come in, get diagnosed, get surgery, go home all in one day. And this really has made the process much easier for not only the patient, but also the family members too. And so I think, you know, we are just getting started. I think things will get much easier, much faster, least invasive. I mean, we're still making a couple of holes while we're doing the operation. In future, I still expect that no more than a few millimeter hole, one or two, and we could do the entire operation. And the amount of the pain patient experience will be even less. And that's kind of future that we're striving for. And it has really made a lot of impact on how we deliver the care for our patients at Northwestern.
Well, look, thank you so much for today. There's so much here. And by the way, I love that you're inviting people that have perhaps smoked in their past to really get things checked out. How do people find out more about this? You know, where do people go and tell us more about how they can find the right questions to ask their physicians about this innovative approach?
Yeah, so not every hospital in the country will offer them. This
mm-hmm.
is very unique to Northwestern, but there are other centers who are able to get the patient home probably the next day. It's not just surgeon, but it's a program. It's the people around it. But for our program, you can find more about it at www.nm.org/lung, or you can find more about the surgeons and then the technical operation we do at our division website. And then for your audience, when you are heard that, you know, you have a lung nodule potential cancer, and when you see a specialist, make sure that, you know, the surgeon or their team is very experienced at doing these operations. Find out about their complication rate, what their length of stay is supposed to be, and so that, you know, now I think the idea of a patient as just an empty receptacle is no longer valid. Patients are consumers now, and they have a full ability to go make sure that they're getting the best care for the particular problem. Because, you know, if when I go buy a car, I go four or five different dealers
yeah.
with the best deal.
Right.
I think same thing should be happening for the patients as well.
No kidding. And, you know, what you're doing, Dr. Kim, if I could just say this to you, I'm doing a lot of these interviews, and what I've learned from our listeners is that you're providing information which we're getting people to think. And you're getting people to
right.
think about the right questions to ask. And you're getting people to think about their own self-care. Isn't that part of your personal vision as well?
That's exactly right. Not everybody, it's not a cookie-cutter, you know, treatment option. It's a treatment that's based on what doctor thinks and what patient thinks. And that's kind of unique about what our vision is. We're trying to have a unique care that best fits the patient, not only for their disease, but their social circumstances too.
Learn how to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, me, Yvonne, in the Realm of Being each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Being.
This is Dr. Sharon Martin with a meditation brought to you from Maximum Medicine Radio. This is a short meditation I designed to strengthen your energy field. Please do not listen if you're driving. Instead, take the time to access this later when you can relax. There are features of this meditation that are inspired by teachers, especially Glenn Below Melchizedek and Cece Treadway, so the credit belongs to them. You may stop the recording at any spot to allow more time to commune with the awarenesses. So let's start by taking a few nice, deep, relaxed breaths. In with your nose, out with your mouth. Let your shoulders drop and your belly soften. Enter a sacred healing state, as I will now open sacred space as I call to all the directions, to the allies, to the guides, to all those with the highest good. Come join us. Now gently bring your awareness to a place about 10 inches above your head. This is the place of your Viracocha. That's a Peruvian Quechua word for the big energy ball that sits about 10 inches above your head, where your soul and spirit connect. See the waterfall of energy that pours out all around, covering your body, making the egg-shaped energy cocoon around you. See the rainbow tapestry of the field surrounding you, the field that interacts between the outside world and your physical self. Your intention to repair and strengthen this field. And continue to breathe deeply, releasing all tension. Again, in with your nose and out with your mouth. Now drop your awareness into your chest, behind your heart, and find the entrance to the small sacred space of the heart. Allow your inner knowing to direct you there. Energetically have been there many times. Make your way to the sacred chamber and take a seat. You find yourself in the most beautiful place to sit. Sit in this chamber that you already deeply know. And let your eyes soften as you sink deeply onto the chair or the cushion or wherever you are sitting. Continue to breathe. Your nose, out with your mouth, holding no tension. Now with your mind's eye, see the color red, fire engine red, cherry tomato red, red is the most beautiful rose. Feel this red and allow it to spread from your heart to all your physical being and out to your rainbow field. Field with red, touching all parts of you, from your head to your toes, from the inside of you to the outside, all parts of you, repairing and healing your field. And now gently allow the red to recede back to your heart and breathe. Now with your mind's eye, see the color orange. Pumpkin orange, the orange of a sunset, the orange of a marigold. Feel this orange and allow it to spread from your heart to all of your physical being, spreading out to your rainbow field. Fill your field with orange, touching all parts of you, from your head to your toes, inside of you to the outside. All parts of you repairing and healing your field. And now, gently allow the orange to recede back to your heart. And breathe. Now see the color yellow. Yellow of the center of a daisy. Yellow of the brightest sun. Yellow of a goldfinch. Feel this yellow and allow it to spread from your heart to all your physical being and out to your rainbow field. Fill your field with yellow, touching all parts of you, from your head to your toes, from the inside of you to the outside, all parts of you, repairing and healing your field. Color green, green of newly mown grass, green of the tips of budding trees, green of the inside of an avocado. Feel this green and allow it to spread from your heart through all your physical being and out to your rainbow field. Fill your field with green, touching all parts of you, from your head to your toes, of you to the outside, all parts of you, repairing and healing your field. And now gently allow the green to recede back to your heart. And breathe. Now see the color blue, blue of the daylight sky, blue of a Caribbean lagoon. Electric blue that dances on the edge of a flame. Feel this blue and allow it to spread from your heart to all your physical being and out to your rainbow field. Fill your field with blue, touching all parts of you, from your head to your toes, from the inside of you to the outside, all parts of you, repairing and healing your field. Gently allow the blue to recede back to your heart and breathe. Now see the color indigo, indigo of blueberries, indigo that's in the circle on peacock feathers, indigo of eggplants. Feel this indigo. Allow it to spread from your heart to all your physical being and out to your rainbow field. Fill your field with indigo, touching all parts of you, from your head to your toes, from the inside of you to the outside, all parts of you, repairing and healing your field. And gently allowing the indigo to recede back to your heart and breathe. Now see the color violet, violet of an amethyst, violet of a lilac bush, violet of a saintly aura. Feel this violet and allow it to spread from your heart to all your physical being and out to your rainbow field. Fill your field with violet, touching all parts of you, from your head to your toes, from the inside of you to the outside, all parts of you, repairing and healing your field. And allow the violet to gently recede back to your heart. Bring your awareness gently back, coming back to the sacred space of your heart, and sit down in this beautiful sacred space and breathe.
your mouth. No tension. Take a minute to feel the colors integrating into your field, repairing and strengthening, heightening your power. Your rainbow tapestry is restored and rejuvenated. You are shimmering. Now gently return your awareness, coming back to this time and this place. We close sacred space as we release the direction and the allies and the guides. As always, we offer gratitude for their presence and their assistance. And be gentle as you re-enter your day and restart your task. You are a magnificent being of light. Be well.